Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we receive your word today. We bless you and we thank you so much for what you've already given unto us. God, you poured forth your anointing upon us to receive. You poured forth your anointing upon us to put power and strength within our lives, God, wherein we will walk through and walk this race. We will walk through the challenges. And God, we're not going to look to the left nor the right, but we're going to look into Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And we thank you for this word. In Jesus' name, we praise you and commend it unto you. Matthew chapter 7 at verse 6. And this is Jesus speaking. He said, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you." That is Matthew chapter 7 as well. I want to flip over to Matthew chapter 13. We'll come back to chapter 7. But Matthew 13. And dropping down to verse 44, Jesus make mention of something else that is uniquely important to us. He said, "And again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man has found, he hideth, and for joy therefore goeth and selleth all that he has and buyeth that field." Verse 45, "And again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he hath found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had, and he bought that pearl." We are the pearl of great price. But even within us, there are pearls that are of great price. But we have to understand the importance of the things that we have, which are of value. And as well, we need to understand who it is that we are to give that which is valuable to. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 6, it talks about, "Give not that which is holy unto dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine," because a swine don't understand the importance of pearls. They don't understand the importance of anything outside of the food that they eat, and they really don't understand that. And so, really, Jesus is making two points here. First of all, know the value of holy things, for the holy things that we have of God are priceless. They are not compared to anything else in this world. It doesn't matter how much money there is. Doesn't matter how much material things there are. The holy things of God are priceless. And he wants us to respect them. He wants us to hold tight to them. He wants us to reverence the holy things that are of him. Second point is that we need to understand who it is that we are to give the valuable things to and share with. It is not good to give your pearls to a swine, nor cast them before dogs, because dogs don't know, they don't understand, they don't even care what a pearl's value is. A swine doesn't care. In fact, it is said in the word that a swine, you cast your pearls before a swine, he will walk upon them, and if you try to come into the pen to pick them up, he'll turn on you and rend you or tear you, because he doesn't understand the importance of holy things. But we, as the chosen sons and daughters of God, need to understand that everything from God is important to us, and it is good for the kingdom of God. It is good for the kingdom that we live in, and it is good for our well-being. And therefore, don't take that which is holy of God and cast it aside like it's not important. This Bible, this word of God that he gives us is so important, but yet, how do we treat it? Do we set it aside and say, "Well, okay, I'll get it," and then a month later we pick it up and turn to one verse and read it and say, "Oh, yeah, the Bible says, don't give that which is holy to the dog, neither cast your pearls before swines." No, we have to understand the holiness of God, the goodness of God, and the things that are of him. We have to understand that they are very, very, very important. And not to say that they just suffice for our particular need, but no, it is for something that is eternal. Now, one of the things I do want to point out in terms of what Matthew specifically speaks of, he talks about the kingdom of heaven. And I've heard many people talk about the kingdom or kingdom principles and kingdom ideas, the way that we are to walk in the kingdom. But if you look at the book of Matthew, it talks about the kingdom of God, and there is a difference between the two. And I want to delineate a little bit about the difference between the two. Because Matthew was more specifically talking about the kingdom of heaven. First of all, we understand that the kingdom of heaven really are God's principles for you and I as children of God to live out in this earth. And therefore, when Matthew talks about then the kingdom of heaven, it is likened to a man that goes out and throws seed on the ground. And the seeds spring up, and some of the seeds that spring up are not even wheat. They are tares, which are a part of the kingdom of heaven, but they are not a part of the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God contains that which is holy, but the kingdom of heaven contains that which is holy and that which is not holy. But you and I, living in the kingdom of God, are to show people how God wants us to live. And therefore, we are to live holy. We are to exemplify righteousness. We are to show the goodness of God in the way that I live. Doesn't matter how everybody else is living around me, but it is the principles of God being lived out in this earth by God's people. Here's the thing about the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven has the Messiah, Jesus Christ, as the king. The kingdom of God has God as the king. He's the ruler over the whole universe, and therefore it is God's kingdom where it is, but the kingdom of heaven is here on the earth. Jesus talked about the kingdom of heaven, and really it was established when he came to the earth. He established the kingdom of heaven. He gave the ideas and the principles that we are to live by, and along with the apostles, they set forth particular doctrines. And when they established those rules and guidelines, you and I know how we ought to live in God's kingdom of heaven. I like to say it this way. It's really God's kingdom from heaven established here on the earth. It's the way that he runs things in heaven. It's the way that he thinks. It's the way that he would do things in heaven, but it's here on the earth. God's kingdom, or the kingdom of heaven, I should say, is dispensational, meaning that it started at one point and is going to end, in a sense, at another point. When Jesus prayed the prayer, "Thy will be done, thy kingdom come, thy will be done," he was saying, "God, send forth your kingdom and establish it here on this earth, and then allow your will to be done through your people here on the earth." But it was dispensational for a period of time. God's kingdom, of course, is eternal. It's from everlasting to everlasting. God's kingdom was established at the time, really, that he existed, which was forever. He says that I am Alpha and Omega, I'm the beginning and the end, and therefore God's kingdom has always existed. And in fact, it's not even limited in scope as the kingdom of heaven is. It's limited in scope, meaning that it's here, basically contained here on the earth. And so there is a difference between the two. One is earthly, really, and the other one is heavenly. Another thing about it is that the kingdom of heaven contains, as I mentioned really before, contains natural things in it. When Jesus talked about how it is, and in fact, even if you look at some of these scriptures in verse 7, if you look at more so in verse 13, how it is, and he showed us in verse 13, some of these scriptures that Jesus mentioned, he says, he put forth another parable, and he talked about the seed that was sown. And in verse 44, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure. It's the kingdom of God's. It's God's kingdom here on earth, but it's likened unto heaven. And in verse 47, it said the kingdom of heaven is like a net that when it's cast forth, and then the fishermen that drew it in, and it says that they sit down and they took out good fish and bad fish and cast them to the side. Is God operating here on the earth? Last thing I want to say about the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God is this. As I mentioned, there are wheat and tares in the kingdom of God. Jesus said that there are some people in the church, some people in his kingdom, that are wolves in sheep clothing, meaning that there are people that will mingle with you and I, and they are pretending to be God's chosen people, but they are not, because really they come in to steal and to kill and to destroy the things that God wants to establish, but it is a part of the kingdom of heaven. And you and I may have thought that everything in the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, is good, but not so. It's just that we are working out this process until we get to the kingdom of God, because in the kingdom of God, everything is good, everything is excellent, everything is for really the born again people, and where you and I will ultimately be one day in the kingdom of God, and not the kingdom, as it were, from heaven established here on the earth. But more so, I want to talk about the great price that is involved in the pearl. Looking again at Matthew 13, verse 44. It says that the kingdom of heaven is likened unto treasure hidden in a field, and that when a man has found it, he hideth it for joy, wherein he goeth, and then he sells everything and buy that field. It says again in verse 45, and again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. Here it is, a man seeking goodly pearls. It's not just any old pearl that's out there, but it's a goodly pearl. For those of you that might not realize it, every pearl that you see wrapped around a woman's neck, every pearl that you see in a store for sale is not a goodly pearl. There are artificial pearls that men know how to make nowadays. In fact, a pearl comes from, for the most part, oysters and other animals that can secrete some kind of fluid in their mouth, so to speak, or in their bodies. And when they secrete it enough, it might take 2 or 3 years for them to secrete it to the point that it gets big enough that men go down and take it from them. Some of them are good, some are bad. And the way that men have learned to perfect a pearl, or not perfect it, but make a pearl, but it's not a good pearl, is that they will put some irritant inside of that clam or oyster. And by it secreting the fluid around, let's say a grain of sand, it's secreting something, but the pearl isn't the best. See, a pearl is one that was secreted naturally by that clam or oyster, and it comes out and is precious. And therefore, this man, when he went seeking the pearls, he sought for the best one. Now, here are, in a sense, the pearls. You and I can be a pearl, but are we the best pearl that God has? Or are we just some kind of pearl that somebody just threw together to say, I'm a pearl of God, I'm a child of God, I'm a son of God, but are we the best that we can be for him? Or are we just something that somebody said, okay, let's throw them together, let's make them look like a child of God, let's make them kind of act like one, but deep down inside, there's a grain of sand that's in the heart, and they have a hard heart, that we're not the goodly pearl. In verse 44, really, the kingdom of heaven is talking about the hidden things in the earth. And here are some hidden things that the kingdom of heaven, rather, is hidden from. Number one, the kingdom of heaven really is hidden from the proud. See, proud people don't really want to know about the kingdom of heaven. They will act like they are part of it, but they don't really want to know about what God's principles are. They don't want to live by God's principles. They don't want to do the things according to the way that God says do them. They just want to be in the in crowd and look like they're something that they're not. It's like the Sadducees and the Pharisees. It's amazing that Jesus would call them, in a sense, dogs. He would call them foxes. And he would tell them to go tell that person that this is my kingdom. I'm in my kingdom, and you have no business in it. It is because Jesus understood that there are some people, and in fact, some are proud. They're despisers, they're wicked, and even some of the rich people were not, the kingdom of heaven was hidden from them. Because, see, Jesus said that a man cannot serve his mammon and God. No man can serve two masters at one time. You either serve one or you're going to serve the other. And you're going to love one and hate the other. And he said, you can't serve money and God. So some rich people that were caught up in their monies could not make it into the kingdom of heaven. I want to just make mention of this particular scripture that Jesus brought out. I can't think of where it is in particular, but he said that, listen, he said that it is easier for a camel to make it through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. What Jesus was really saying is that over in Israel, there is a place that was called the eye of a needle. And the way that they got through it, when they went down the passage of this road, they got to the eye of a needle, and the camels were loaded down with cargo. The only way that they could get through it was to unload the camel, push the camel through first, and then bring the goods that he had on top of the camel and put it back on the camel. That's the only way that camel and that cargo could get through the eye of a needle. And so in essence, what Jesus is saying to us is that the rich man, because he's loaded down with all kinds of baggage, cargo, and stuff that will hinder him from seeing God, that will hinder him from loving God and knowing God and walking by the power of God, is that we have to unload ourselves of this cargo that is upon our back. But once we can put aside the money and the riches of this world and the things that we want to do in this world for ourselves, we can make it into the kingdom of God, because now we don't have all this stuff holding us back. We can go in through the eye of the needle and come out on the other side. So really, what it's all about is saying, God, I want to enter into the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, but I'm willing to put aside some things. I'm willing, God, if my coat is holding me back, I'm willing to turn it loose like Joseph. God, if my eye is offending me because I'm looking at the riches of this world, God, I'm willing to pluck my eye out to get through the eye of this needle. God, I'm willing to close my ears to some junk that people is feeding into my head because I want to make it through the eye of the needle. But we have to be willing to put aside the things that will hold us back. And most of the time, rich people have stuff that's holding them back. It doesn't mean that a rich person can't enter into the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. It just means that we have to be willing to turn some stuff loose. But let me give you a little secret. It doesn't mean that only rich people go through that. Sometimes, most of the time, poor people go through the same thing. Because even though we don't have it, we still want it so bad that we're willing to go out and do things that we ought not to do, and it becomes a burden to us, and therefore we become like the rich person. We don't have it physically, but in our hearts and in our minds, we got it, and it's holding us back from going through the eye of the needle. And God's saying, listen, you got to turn it loose. But there is a difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. I remember Jesus as well told the Sadducee, he said, listen, there are harlots and prostitutes, drug addicts, winos and alcoholics, and people that you don't like, people that are despised of the world. Many of them will make it into the kingdom of God before you do. And the reason that he said the kingdom of God is because there are many Sadducees and Pharisees in the kingdom of heaven. They are tares, and they are people that don't mean to ever really ever get it right. But they are part of the kingdom of heaven. But God, see, is the one that is the discerner of the heart. He's the one that judges the intent and know what you and I are thinking and where we're going with our thoughts and what we're going to do tomorrow, even before tomorrow gets here. And he's the one to say, listen, I know you, even from the beginning, that you want to be a part of the kingdom of heaven and you will mingle around in it, but you will never, ever make it into the kingdom of God, because that's where I draw the dividing line. And that's the way that God wants to distinguish between the two. Now, verse 45, it talks about this. See, because it says that, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had. Isn't it amazing that here's a man that found a pearl that was worth so much, he was willing to sell everything else that he had for the sake of that one little pearl. But really, as we think about it, that pearl really means something. And in a sense, here it is what it means. See, the merchant is really like God. And he's one that's willing to pay every price that needs to be paid to get the one pearl, you and I, to come to him. And he loved us so much that he was saying, everything that I have in this universe, I'm willing to give up. But even greater than everything that I have, there is one thing that is more important to me than anything else in the universe. Sure, I own the stars and the moons and the planets, the meteors and meteorites. I own the galaxies. I own everything that's a part of the universe. But there's one thing that's more precious to me than anything else. And that one thing was his son, Jesus Christ. And he was willing to, in a sense, give up or pay the price through Jesus Christ for you and I, which were goodly pearls. Because, see, in that Jesus paid the price, it made us acceptable unto God. Because, and the thing about it is that we are to live this life. We are to recognize that God has paid such a great price for us. And in fact, in the book of Corinthians, it talks about how it is that we are bought with a price. And so therefore, we are to glorify God in this body because somebody paid for us. because somebody laid down everything that was of value to them for us, we are to live a certain way to glorify and recognize them. It's kind of like the person that says, hey, you know, I'll bail you out of jail, brother, and it's costing me $100,000 to bail you out of jail, and the guy gets out of jail, and then he skips bond. What kind of respect is he showing to the man that bailed him out of jail? What kind of respect is it given to the man for you to disappear when that man has given all of his money, maybe has mortgaged his home to get you out of jail? And that's the way it is sometimes with people when they aren't the goodly pearl and they don't recognize the fact that we are bought with a price and that we are to glorify God. I don't know where any of you might be. I just know my life, where I am in terms of whether I respect God and respect him enough to say, God, you paid everything and you've given everything for me. But God, how am I treating your respect? How am I treating you in your face? Am I spitting in your face? Am I skipping bond? Am I just living any kind of way that I want to live, not regarding what you've done for me? And so God really has done so much for us. See, because to God, we're the real great pearl. We're the pearl, rather, of great price. And that is the reason why Jesus Christ shed his blood, because God saw some goodly pearls in the earth. Now, again, I realize that there are some pearls or some people that you don't throw your pearls to, and God, to an extent, don't throw his good, rather, to some people. He doesn't throw his pearls to some people. Have you ever wondered why it is that there are some nations, no matter how much the gospel is preached to them, that they never, ever receive it? And that there are some nations that don't ever get the gospel, because God knows from the beginning to the end that this nation won't ever, ever receive the good pearls that I have to offer them. And there are some people that we need not waste our time on giving them the gospel or preaching to them over and over again, because they will take your pearls and they will trample upon them, then turn around and curse you out, curse me out, because they don't regard the goodness of God. So be careful who you cast your pearls to. There are some people that I share the gospel with, and some people I won't waste my time. And for the most part, they are the proud ones. They are the ones that I know just ain't going to receive, because they think that they perhaps are better than I am. Or they just don't want to receive anything from a Christian. Some of these Muslim nations never ever will receive the gospel, because God knows that, hey, you're casting your pearls before swine, man. You're casting your pearls before dogs, and it doesn't do them any good. Now, here are the pearls. Believe it or not, we have pearls of great price, but we have to recognize what pearl it is that we own and that we have within our lives. Our pearls of great price, the first one, is our faith. Believe it or not, faith is one of the greatest things that God could have ever given to man. Because God wants us to walk in blindness, but yet at the same time in trusting in him. You see, really, that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to trust him in all things. So what? I'm going through the storm. God, I'm believing that you're with me. God, I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death. God, I'm believing that you are with me. And I don't want to take this faith that God has given me for granted, because when we take it for granted, then in essence what we're doing is we're saying, God, here's a pearl. Take it back. Don't want it. We turn on God. Another thing about faith is that sometimes we just don't even work the faith that we have within us. Don't you know that for God it is good to exercise faith? Don't you know that to God is good to work your faith even if you don't see it coming to pass? We ought to be walking in faith anyway. The book of Hebrews talks about how it was in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. It talks about how it was that these different people went through the land, and they sojourned through the land like Abraham. And God gave him a promise. And there was Enoch and Elijah, and there was Joseph, and there were all of these men, David, and even some of the women, Rahab, that did things that were against the grain of what they ought to have done. But it says that these people walked in faith. And then it says in one particular verse that all of these walked through the land having faith, but some of them never ever received the promise, because the promise is fulfilled in you and I. But they had faith anyway. And they worked that faith. They didn't care whether it came to pass then or not. See, the problem that we have a lot of times is that we want stuff done right now. God, I'm having faith in you. I'm going through a trial. God, you need to end it right now. Otherwise, I'm going to give up, God. I'm going to turn around and go back. And God said, hey, it's your life. Do what you want to do. He cares, but he really doesn't care in the sense that you can do what you want to do, brother, sister, it's your life. Sometimes our faith is hidden. But don't you know that in your faith, God said that if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say unto this mountain, be thou hence plucked into the, cast into the sea, be plucked up. And it's amazing what faith can do and will do. But we have to make sure that we're using the faith that God gives us in the appropriate way. With your faith, you can cast out demons. With your faith, you can lay hands on the sick and they can recover. With your faith, people can be healed as a result of the faith that you exercise, because God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him and have faith in the process and the workings that he can do. So that is one great pearl of great price, faith. Another thing that we a lot of times take for granted is, here's a pearl of great price, my mind. If you've never ever seen anybody that was out of their minds, then you would know how important it is for this mind to be protected, how important it is for this mind to have what it needs in it from God. And here's the thing about the mind. We have to guard our minds. The Bible says, guard your heart. In essence, really what he's saying is that guard this, your mind and your heart, because the two are connected together. And whatever you think in your mind will ultimately end up in your heart. So therefore, if you think bad stuff and you think stuff that is not right before God, ultimately it will enter into your heart and you can become bitter, you can become sour, we can become all kinds of things simply because we begin to think it and it began to manifest itself in our heart. And of course, the body is going to show what's in here and what's in there, the mind and the heart. So we have to guard our minds. And in fact, the Bible even tells us that we are to cast down imaginations that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. And in casting down those imaginations, we realize that we, as my wife said, we bring those things into captivity. But in essence, what we're doing, we're putting on the mind of Christ. And with the mind of Christ, it's amazing how pure and how straight this mind will work. How pure and how straight this mind will operate. And if the mind and the heart operates all right, then the body is going to follow. And that's the way it ought to be. Which brings me to another point. The body itself is a pearl of great price. Which means this. When you look at your body and I look at my body, I am to respect my body that God has given me as a means to say, God, because you blessed me with this, I want to take care of it, and I'm not going to put into it a lot of junk. I'm not going to carry it through a lot of stuff that it ought not to go through and it need not to go through, because God, you blessed me with this body. In fact, the Bible says that the body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And if it's the temple of the Holy Ghost, what kind of temple do I want God, the Holy Ghost, living in? Therefore, I ought to eat healthy. I ought to do the things to make this body operate properly. I ought to do the things that just says, God, I'm going to glorify you in my body because you gave me this body to live in. And you gave me this body to show other people in the kingdom of heaven how it is that we ought to be. And so really, with it being the temple, we are to glorify God. He says as well that the person that will destroy this body, I'm going to destroy that person. Now, here's the thinking behind that. In essence, God is saying that, listen, this pearl of great price that I've given you, if you don't respect it, you treat it any kind of way, then in the day of judgment, you're going to stand before me and have to give an account as to how it was that you treated your body. And that can go an array of things can be talked about concerning that. I mentioned the health. I mentioned what it is that we put into it, like the drugs and the stuff that really breaks our body down. We need to watch, you know, I'm talking about food. We need to really watch what we ought to eat so that we aren't destroying this body. And some people do it unintentionally, but all in all, God holds me accountable for how I treat this body of mine. And if he's holding me accountable, one day I'm going to have to give an account to how it was that I treated. How was it that I looked at certain things, because this body is being affected by what I look at, what I hear, what I see, what I take it through, what I ingest into it. Therefore, God don't want anybody, let me say this, don't want any of us committing suicide. That ain't the way that we ought to be going, because in essence, it's disrespecting God to that extent. Last great pearl of great price. I keep saying great pearl. We are a great pearl, but last pearl of great price, and really this is the most valuable one. We are to look at the soul and the spirit that's on the inside of this body, that's affected by the mind and affected by the faith that we live in. We are to respect that which is on the inside of us. Did you know that without the soul and the spirit, man cannot live? But when God scooped down from the clay of the earth and made Adam, Adam was there, but he was not alive in the sense that he did not have life within him. It said that God formed him out of the dust of the clay, but then he breathed within him the breath of life, which was a soul. And it says that he became a living soul. But see, it's one thing to be a living soul, there's another thing to have the Spirit of God within us. Because there are multi-million and billions of people walking around that are living souls, but they do not have the Spirit of God within them, because the Spirit of God comes from God through Jesus Christ. And most people, I would say, have not received Jesus Christ. But this soul that I have, this spirit that I have, is a pearl of great price, and I am to respect it. I am to look at it and cherish what it is that I have within me, and I am to commune with God through travailings and groanings within my spirit so that I make a connection with God. Some people never, ever make their spirit exercise to connect with God. And I'm talking about Christian people. They just get born again, and that's it. They don't grow. They don't read. They don't pray. They don't do things that are of godliness. And they're just a living soul, as it were, with a little spirit in there somewhere. So understand that without the spirit and the soul of God, we'll die. And one day we're going to have to give an account to God. And the other thing about giving an account to God is that one day, as we stand before God, we'll realize that the soul man that is within me, I'm a soul man, is going to live through eternity. It is the one part that God gave you and I that is so important that will last forever. This body will dissolve. But then he's going to give me a new body, because see, the thing about it is that the spirit man can live without the body, but the body can't live without the spirit man. But God really wants the two and three, I should say, be connected together, a soul, a spirit, and a body. He wants them to coexist together. That's the makeup of us, because we're made in the image of God, as it were. Now, I just want to quickly mention this. There are a few, some lesser pearls that we have in our lives or in our bodies, so to speak. But these are ones that are of great price. And really, when you look at them, they are really the three or the fourth greatest things that we can center our lives around. That is faith, our mind, our body, and our soul. They're the four greatest things that we can really have in this earth. But then the lesser ones might be other things like relationships. It's a pearl. And some people take relationships for granted. They don't have a relationship with their brother, their sister, mother, father. They don't have a relationship with people, but they are pearls that really have a great value to them. They are not to the extent of their soul, body, and spirit man and so forth, but they are pearls of great price. And therefore, if you have a relationship with someone, you are to cherish that relationship. Children don't have a relationship with their parents. Parents don't have a relationship with their children. They are pearls. They are goodly pearls, and God wants us to exercise those. There are other pearls, and I'm talking about pearls wherein we have wisdom. There's wisdom all about us, but a lot of time we don't pay attention to the wisdom that is for us. We prefer to listen to somebody else that doesn't have wisdom, that doesn't have knowledge, that don't have anything to offer us good, and we'll latch on to that instead of recognizing the pearl of wisdom, the pearls of food, whatever it is that you have. Maybe you got clothes on your back. It's a pearl, maybe not so much of great price, but it is a pearl because it all came from God. The Bible talks about how it is that all good and perfect gifts come from above, from our Father. And so they are good pearls. But the ones of great price, if you want to really think about it, have everlasting effects to them. The mind, the body, and the soul. Everlasting effects. And so Jesus, when he talked about the pearl of great price, we are the pearl of great price to God because he was willing to pay everything that he needed to pay to secure you and I through the blood of Jesus Christ. But then on the other hand, the pearls of great price, which really to us, the main one would be God to us. It's a mutual thing. See, because when I can love God, as the Bible talks about, seek the Lord while he may be found, he's a pearl of great price. And many there be there that can't find this pearl. Some people look for the pearl, God, and they look for it through all kinds of means. They're uncovering the bush like the little children do on Easter egg hunts. They're looking for some pearl, but they can't find it because they're looking in the wrong places. And then there are some people that's looking for a pearl, and they think that the pearl is supposed to be one way, when in actuality, the pearl is another way. God may look like the dirty man or the dirty woman that sits beside you in drugs and perhaps have been in alcohol or perhaps have done things that you don't even want to be associated with, but it could be God, the very God, that's sitting beside you and is the pearl of great price that you need to learn from them. God ain't gonna ever, let me say this again, God will never, ever look like you think that he ought to look. Only the world's going to look like you think it ought to look. That's why it's so easy to capture somebody in terms of the things that they ought not to be doing. It looks good, yeah, for the drug addict to pull out a few dollar bills out of his pocket and say, son, look what it is that you can have. It ain't God nowhere. It ain't going to ever look good when somebody can say to you, hey, you do this thing and we'll get you out of debt. Because we're willing to give you X number of dollars if you just sign the dotted line. That ain't God. God is about wisdom. God is about understanding. And God is about certain restraints to say, hey, I don't have to be moved by the flesh to get into something, but I'm moved by the Spirit of God, and that's God. And so God may not ever look clean. He may not ever be the one that you think is beside you because the person that's beside you just don't look like, he doesn't look godly. See, God ain't about just standing before people like I am today with the suit on and then that's only God looks like that. No. He may look like that. We understand that Jesus had a shiny robe. But for you and I to understand where the pearls might be, the pearls are in the fields. The pearls are in a place that are hidden. And the pearls don't look like they ought to look for what it is that you want. The pearls may not be the big ones like that. It may be the small ones that is of value. Because remember what I said earlier? They know how to artificially make pearls by making the oyster or the clam do something that it doesn't really want to do. It's an irritant. So the pearl of great price might not look like the one that you want. But I can say this much. If you'll latch on to the pearl of great price, which is Jesus Christ, God through Jesus Christ, he's certainly going to latch on to you. And he's going to hold on to you tightly. I don't know how strong your grip might be. I don't know how strong, in a sense, my grip may be. But God, as long as I can hold on to you, I'm going to hold on. Because I found something that's valuable to me. I found something, it don't look so valuable, but God, I found something that I know is going to take me beyond what it is that I see in this world. It's going to take me through eternity. And God, that's what I want. And I'm not going to be separated from it, God. I'm not going to let people show me something beautiful that looks like a pearl, but I'm not going to let them draw me away because it looks good. All that glitter ain't gold. God, I found a pearl of great price. And I'm going to hold on to it because, see, God, with the pearl came some instructions. You showed me how to live. You showed me how to be. You showed me what kind of people to stay away from. You showed me, God, how it is that I'm to orchestrate my life in this world. You give me some instructions, not just the pearl itself, but you've also given me the instructions through this Bible that I have. And God, I'm going to walk by it. Even when I don't know what to do, I'm going to look at the instructions and follow them. And I thank God so much for it. And Father, in Jesus' name, I'm thankful that we do have a pearl of great price in you. A pearl that will never fade, a pearl that will never go old, a pearl that is precious for those that seek after it. And I thank you, my God, my Lord, for it in the name of Jesus. I bless you and give you honor and glory. Amen, amen, amen. If you would, well, no, be seated because we got to take care of a few other things. But listen, I do want to give the invitation of someone that may be interested in knowing more.